I'm Fine and Neither Are You by Camille Pagan, performed by Amy McFadden. Mistakes were made. The first wasn't even something I did. It was only a germ of an idea, fleeting but infectious. I had just sat on the toilet and was mulling over the day's to-dos and why didn't I's, when a single thought shot past all the rest. I want out. Maybe it was the photo I had seen on my phone moments earlier. One of my college friends was on vacation yet again and had posted a shot of the vast Caribbean horizon beyond her sandy, pedicured toes. A novel was on her lap, closed to highlight the cover and, presumably, her sculpted thighs. The caption noted that a cabana boy had fetched the cocktail she was holding in her free hand. I glanced down at my own legs, which were not so much toned as two-toned. I had recently read that making it through mothering alive required putting on your own oxygen mask before assisting others. Alas, I had failed to make the connection between survival and sunscreen. But my sudden desire to be somewhere else was probably less envy and more the result of my second child screaming through the half-inch gap where the bathroom door failed to meet the frame. Mommy! Mom! Mommy! Miles, can I not have one whole minute of peace? The answer to this wasted breath of a question would remain no for another 12 years and 2 months, not that I was counting. Go attempt to wake your father up. The knob twisted. Then the door flung open, and there stood my son, tight fists resting on his narrow hips. His face was contorted with a mix of lingering rage and the fresh pleasure of ratting out his older sister. Stevie called me Rumple Foreskin, he announced. Still perched on the toilet, I turned and tucked my chin to my shoulder to stifle a laugh. When I had composed myself, I looked over at him. Well, that's a silly thing to say. What do I always tell you about how to respond to someone who's mean to you? He smiled angelically. Punch them in the tenders? Sweetheart, if you do that and tell people I told you to, you're going to end up living with Cookie. His face immediately crumpled and he began to cry. It was true that my mother-in-law, Rhea, who preferred to be identified as a baked good rather than a grandmother, smothered my children to the point of terror when she bothered to see them. Still, Miles' tears were a reminder of the microscopic line between being six and having borderline personality disorder. Aw, sweetie, come on. Just ignore Stevie, I said, as though the 400th time I uttered this advice would be the one that finally stuck. Go pour yourself a bowl of cereal.
I want waffles, he said, sniffling.
His cheeks, which bore the high color of indignation, were streaked with glossy tear trails. I would have pulled him to me and hugged him, but I hadn't wiped yet. Instead, Miles stalked off, leaving the door wide open. It was just far enough away that I couldn't close it myself, so I quickly reached beside me. My fingers landed on a cardboard roll where paper should have been. The basket beside the toilet was empty.